Well, when I first started releasing them, it was very, very, I think it was very early in the days. I don't know if CDs were, they were just coming out probably. And it was, you know, early. And I don't know, I mean, I don't know if I thought that I would eventually wind up on a major label and, you know, things would take off from there. I don't really remember what I was thinking, but at the time, the label that I was on was Oral Gratification by, owned by Kevin Bartlett, and basically we would just have the cassettes available in local stores and stuff. But what happened was, certain people, certain acquaintances would get a copy of a cassette and then dub it, you know, make a compilation and then send somebody else a cassette and say, oh, you might want to check out this artist, you know, track number 4 is Happy Road, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, things would start happening. That's how Vicky Mapes wound up getting my music, because I think someone had sent her a cassette of a compilation and I was one of the songs on it. So it just took off. I didn't plan anything. I didn't really think anything out. It's just sometimes if things are meant to happen, they're going to happen.
Okay. And then with War Paint, you start the magic of compact discs became
right.
available.
Right. Incidentally, War Paint was actually the first album that I wrote all the music specifically to release for that CD, as opposed to the first 4 were compilations of just songs that I had recorded, you know, through the years.
Money like the wings of a butterfly, dusty peso. Don't you touch them more, or let me fly anywhere.
And the riches are gone, why I saw them all.
Ever see the wings of a dragonfly, paper thin cellophane, and quickly roll like the will to live for mind in pain?
My images are gone, why I saw them all by.
I cannot change what is, and I cannot make it die. But I can love with all my heart, the wretches gone awry.
And the images are gone.
My time, and the moon will always shine, cause he knows I need him to walk this fine and crooked line.
And the riches are gone, why I saw them walk on by.
And you can know all the light in the world, I'd still be blind. And I can hide away from the people in the world and still be kind.
And the riches are gone, why I saw them walk on by.
I cannot change what is, and I cannot make it die. But I can love with all my heart, the wretches gone awry.
And the wretches are gone awry, I saw them all gone by.
All I ask is you let me be, live like I do. I'll never be part, but someday I will pass on through.
And the wretches are gone awry, I saw them all gone by.
You can pull the wings from a dragonfly, you can kill the flight of a butterfly, but you can't harm me, for I live with the freedom to decide.
And the riches are gone, why I saw them walk on by.
You cannot change what is, and you cannot make it die. But you can love with all your heart, the wretches gonna rise. You cannot change what is, and you cannot make it die. But you can love with all your heart, the wretches gone awry.
Yes, the wretches are gone awry, I saw them walk on by.
And was War Paint the first one that actually had a photograph as a cover?
Well, they all had photographs, but they were photographs taken by me of paintings that I had done. So, but yeah, so that War Paint was the first one that actually had a professional photograph of my face on the cover.
Okay, your compilations that you've released are also really interesting, like the Road Song with Ashes to Ashes, and then the Keep with the Yes Medley.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do you Do you enjoy performing other artists' songs as well, just kind of sitting around, or, you know, even recording them or performing them live? Is that something that you like doing?
It's something I like doing if it's something that really moves me. Like one of my favorite writers is actually Neil Finn. And Tim Finn too. I mean, both of them, they're just amazing writers. So I just loved the song "Don't Dream It's Over." Felt like doing that live just because I think it's a beautiful song. And I'm obviously not the only person who thinks that, because it's been covered quite a number of times. If I really, really like a song, like I really love, I love "Run to Me" by the Bee Gees. I mean, it's the Bee Gees, but, you know, no, it's a great song. I love that song. So, every time I feel moved by someone's song, I'll do it. But again, it's like, because I don't buy music a lot, and I don't listen to a lot of new stuff. I probably should, but I don't. So anything that I'm going to do a cover of, it's probably going to be something pretty old.
Well, I did notice, by the way, that on the Keep, your Yes medley is three-quarters Trevor Rabin song. So definitely no worries about where your interests lie as far as that's concerned.
Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah. Well, it's a shame that whole era seems to be consigned to the gated drums equals bad part of musical history now. That sort of revisionism that says that the Yes that included Trevor Rabin was not the real one and they were terrible, et cetera, et cetera. If Trevor Rabin hadn't come along, none of these guys would have jobs. It's unfortunate, but, you know, he really did revitalize them in a way that... And I agree with you. He's an amazing pop writer and producer, so...
Yeah, I mean, just the sheer talent that the guy has, because, he can sing, he can... Well, I mean, how many instruments can the guy play? He's very, very accomplished. So I think he deserves everything that he has.
So did you decide... I mean, so you, at that point, decided, okay, put down the engineering staff, so to speak, and just concentrate on recording the songs. So you produce yourself, though, most of the time, or have in the past produced yourself. What do you see as the difference between being the producer and being the engineer? Because there are some people, like, for instance, Steve Albini, who says, no, I flip the switches and that's my job. And then there are other people, like, let's say, Mutt Lang. Producer means everything up to and including writing the songs and taking 500 takes to get a drum sound right. Where do you see your world of production in that?
Yeah, well, that's very true. I mean, it's got to be the same in film, too. It's really hard to define the word producer. Everybody has their own definition of it. Producer could mean you're the money person. You're the person who picks up the phone and, you know, calls all the contacts and gets all the right people together and so on and so forth. In music, generally, the producer is the person who, you know, hears the raw demo of a song and decides the direction of it and decides what kind of musicians should be on it and all that stuff. For me, again, because I record as I write, I also produce as I write. This last album, Find Me, is produced by Bob Mueller, and I totally took a hands-off approach to this. I gave him, you know, it's like I present all my material to him. I mean, there were times when, and this is unusual for me, but there were times when he would say, this song needs to be reworked. I think you need to, you know, make the chorus longer. You need to do this, or this needs another section. Write a new section for this. And I'm always very resistant to anybody telling me what I should do for a song. But I stayed very open to comments and suggestions on this one, and usually did everything that he asked. And it's great because it still all wound up coming from me. He's the producer, but he didn't write anything. I wrote everything. And most of the stuff that I presented him is still the same, but, you know, that's the difference. And in the past, producing myself, it's not always a good idea for one to produce oneself, I think, because I think in the past I would have disagreed with myself. I would have said, hey, I'm always going to produce myself. But it's not always the best thing for an artist. You know, it's good to have other people, you know, a third opinion, a second opinion, whatever.
So you feel like having that sort of outside ear helped you clarify some things maybe that wouldn't have come to light otherwise?
Well, sure. I mean, there are so many decisions that I made about my music in the past that I, you know, I look back and go, oh man, that was goofy. What the hell did I do that for? And if I had like just listened to somebody or had somebody telling me, you know, this is a really corny sound. You really don't want to use that. Then it would have been better. But hey, that's the way it goes.
So many powerful beings, so many here to with life. Imagination abounds here, there's wisdom and great insight. My ears are lucky to hear these glorious songs of inspiration. And voices grafted from thunder, the power of life. I want to go back to the trees where my heart was born, and I was duly sworn to be alive.
So Why don't we talk about the recording process of Find Me? When did you start working on it?
Oh, I started writing it probably 98, 99. But I was actually still writing for the album up until, when would that have been? I don't know, probably 2003, still writing on it. The only reason that I normally would never take that long to do an album, but the studio that I was recording at, of course, the owner of the studio is Bob Mueller, who also produced the album. He's also my husband, and obviously I wasn't paying anything to the studio for recording there, but the price you pay for not paying for studio time is that when paying clients do come in, and it was quite a very successful, busy studio, you have to make way for the paying clients. So my recording schedule had to, you know, revolve around all of that, and that made it really, really difficult. So it wound up taking a very long time, and that's probably the only reason why I was still writing in 2003 or whatever.
Were you recording all this time, or did you wait until you finished the writing to start the studio-based recordings of the re-singing of the vocals and the live guitar?
No, I had been writing. I mean, I don't always write. Like, some people are just always writing, and then they'll, you know, compile what they've written thus far and you know, work it into a CD. I only write when I'm ready to make a CD, and then I sit down and I start writing. So when I started writing for this next one, it was with the intention of you know, putting out my 11th CD. So no, I didn't wait until the studio time was opening up. I had to get it all written first and then, you know, start working on it.
Did you work on it all the time? For instance, you wrote the song and then, okay, well, now I want to go sing the vocals, so there's a bit of time here. So you've been working on it all this time. It hasn't been, well, I took 4 years off and then started recording.
Oh, no, yeah,
again.
Right. No. I mean, it was dribs and drabs. It was like always working on something. Until it got to the point where the recording was done. The recording and the mixing was done. Then a huge time lapse happened because we were having a lot of problems getting a right mastering engineer for it. And by then we had moved out of New York and out into the country, and I had to get the artwork done. So it's like the album itself was finished and sat for a long time without any forward progression because the mastering was such a pain. And a few songs had to be reworked a little bit and remixed, and that took a long time as well because we're doing it now long distance. It's not like we were in New York at the studio anymore. So for me, the artwork in particular, because I'm, you know, it's like usually, with the exception of Many Worlds Were Born Tonight, usually I am solely responsible for the artwork. And because finishing the CD... not recording it, but finishing the CD in terms of, you know, now it was out of my hands. I did all my work was done, and now it needed to be mastered and remixed on some songs and blah, blah, blah. So now I'm idle and I'm free to go on with my life, but I was, you know, taking my sweet time getting the artwork done because it wasn't coming up. There was no pressure to do it. It's just like, and I wasn't quite sure what I wanted the concept to be, and you know, still, I didn't know, you know, how the album was going to sound put all together in the right order. And sometimes, you know, sometimes you have to wait until all that's done before you can figure out, okay, this is what it should look like. But something came up. I had a show coming up, and we decided that I should really haul and get the artwork finished quickly. And I did just that. I mean, it was like the quickest artwork job I've ever done in my life, and it just wound up being all my drawings, because where I'm living now, the talent pool for photographers, good photographers, is yet untapped. I don't know anybody around here, and I'm not sure there are talented photographers around here. They probably are, but because when you're in the country, it takes a lot longer to network. And I just didn't really have the time or energy to go traveling to New York and do that whole thing. So I just, all the artwork I needed, I just took my own photographs and I drew my own pictures and slapped it together.
Wasn't that sort of the modus operandi for almost all of your albums? Up until Many Worlds, you were sort of responsible for the artwork and the packaging for those as well?
Absolutely, yeah.
So you're an old hand at it, perhaps. So that's probably why you were able to get it done so quickly.
I guess so. It was certainly the concept that came about certainly wound up being a surprise to me. I mean, originally it was going to be something completely different. But, you know, when you're can only rely on your own resources, sometimes you just have to go with the flow.
So as I was mentioning, I really love the electronic sounds on the new album. To get a little nerdish here, what sort of instrumentation do you, what sort of instruments do you use when you're recording?
Well, it's, now you're going to force me to try and remember what I did, which is not going to be easy. Well, my absolute favorite thing to mess around with is, well, two things I would say. One is the Wave Station, I think it's Korg Wave Station, which is ridiculously hard to find anymore. It's a pretty rare item.
Is that the M1 or?
No, Wave Station. It's actually a rack unit.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
it does incredible things. I mean, when it first came out, it was kind of overused and you could recognize a Wave Station sound immediately. I kind of think it's limitless in terms of what the weird things you can do with it if you're patient. And that's one thing I have is patience. I will sit in front of an electronic box for hours and days if it takes it just to get a weird, unrecognizable sound. And my other favorite thing is my G-Force, which is an effects unit, which is actually meant for guitar, but I use it on everything.
So you're completely unafraid of using an effects unit on vocals, drums, anything. So.
Oh, I mean, I consider it another instrument.
Do you usually, I think, if I understand correctly, you have these things at home and can just go nuts whenever you have an idea. Is that right? So does that lead you, do you find to spending a lot more time on a song than you would if, let's say, you had to pay to go in and you had an hour with the Wave Station? Gives you more sort of impetus to do lots of interesting things?
Well, I mean, yeah, obviously. I don't know anybody, though, who is in a position to be able to pay to go into a studio to write. I mean, these days, it's just like, well, first of all, there are no studios left. I mean, half the studios in New York City closed down in the last 5 years. But, I mean, you know, if you're gonna, you have to do that at home. You have to have the gear in your hands, in your home to do that because you really do need to spend time if you have the patience. If I didn't have that stuff at home, I mean, I don't know. My writing style would be completely different if I had to actually go somewhere else to do it.
Thank you. Never cry because you're lonely. Your love will always be around the bend. And never cry because you think you can't make it. You made it this far. It's better than most. Yes, I believe in you.